Okay, well, last week we ended up with the end, and today we're going to the beginning, studying Genesis. What do you know about the very beginning, or what questions would you have about it?
Stewards of our time.
No. But if you remember last Sunday, we talked that in some translations, a day in the life of Jesus is like 1,000 days in our, or year, a year in the life of Jesus. So if you look at that, he might not be operating on a 24-hour clock. But it begins and teaches us and really establishes the creation, the sovereignty, and the power of God. And if you think about the things that he created, I mean, we'll read some of the scriptures, but he created everything. He also created human beings. He created man in his own image. And as the scripture will tell us, he created male and female. Why did he do that? To replenish the earth. But he also, by doing that, he introduced sin into the world. Because man and woman sinned and started it. Now, what about the worldview? Do you think there are people out there that question, how can one person do all this?
Yeah, all the time.
All the time.
All the time. They question that all the time.
Right. But they don't question how time plus chance plus matter can create all this.
Yeah. Do you think that people would go even further? We'll jump ahead. When it talks about, with creating man and woman, there's a lot of talk about evolution. You know, did, quote, Homo sapiens evolve from a lower form, such as an animal, an ape, and then progressed over the years, or was it God's total creation?
It is in his image, so.
Mm-hmm. And we'll jump forward, like I mentioned, the flood, not with Noah. Was it a flood over the whole earth, or was it just regional?
Well, there's evidence that it was over the whole earth. The Grand Canyon is the result of the flood. The fact that we have sea creatures fossilized on top of the highest mountains is evidence that the flood covered the whole earth.
Do you ever have any new beginnings in your life?
Sure. Every day is a new beginning.
Okay. We wake up, that's
we
a
get
new
out
beginning.
Of bed.
That's
fine.
Birthdays. Anniversaries. The birth of a new child. The start of a new job, or you lost a job. You lose a loved one. All these things come into play. And do you have emotions about those things? Naturally. But if we look at the whole, we'll start reading is, do we ever question or stop and think, we live here on planet Earth. Is this the only body of let's say, a mass that there's actual living creatures on it. Are we the only, is it just the earth, the sun and the moon, and then the planets? Is that it? Because this writer points out, the solar system is so large, we live in what they call the Milky Way galaxy, which they say contains about 100 billion stars. But in just our galaxy alone, he says that it takes the planet Pluto 248 years to make one revolution around the sun. Now, how massive is that? And beyond that, we know there are other bodies, there are other galaxies out there. So like last week when we were talking about Revelation, you're talking about the end and the heavens. Where do you think heaven is? And how big is it compared to where we are here on earth?
Because that goes back to just us having our faith and believing that as a Christian we're going to end up where we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
But unknown, nobody knows. I mean, the astronauts, I mean, nobody knows. None of us know. It's just you're going to wake up and be there.
If you could be an astronaut, and I'll use that, and you were ever out in space, and you say, let's say you went to the moon, but then you could peer back and you could see planet Earth, do you think it would mess with your mind a little bit, or make you then contemplate everything? Just, we think planet Earth is big, but considering everything else is probably just like the head of a pin in the whole universe. But Genesis is going to teach us God's total, like I said, sovereignty, His power. We know the verses. It starts Genesis 1. My scripture says, in the new beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, hovering, was God above earth? Or was He here on earth at that time? It talks about, I mean, one writer kind of points out that He was hovering over the surface of the deep. He was hovering over the waters, but he kind of pointed out and compared to, was maybe God like a flow of, let's say, the air or wind, or was He hovering like that? Or was He in human form, feet planted here on earth at that time?
Like a vapor?
Well, He's omnipresent, so He's everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
maybe He made Himself a visible form, like a vapor, or... Because, you know, we can't see the air or the wind. We can feel it, but we can't see it.
But He's pointing out that hovering is not like we could... Well, if you think about wind blowing, hovering is not like that. He's pretty much stationary, so he's...
He didn't say person, he said spirit.
Spirit. Right.
Yeah, spirit of God.
Because he points out here in verse 2, he's talking about the Spirit of God is really the affirmation of the Trinity of God. Because in verse 1, it refers to God the Father. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says that if you go read in John, we can look over here in chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And it goes on to say, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The third person, the Spirit, is the Spirit in creation. But does it take all three to complete the job, to complete the work? If we look compared to today's times, if you were going to create something, if you were going to build a new house, or you had a project that you wanted to do at your home, would you do it by yourself? Possibly. But if you were going to build a new home, would you have to possibly get the outside assistance from someone to take your thoughts and draw your plans up? Yeah. But thinking about the task that God had, did you ever doubt how could he do this all by himself?
We know that he's
he can think something into existence. I mean, it's not like he actually, took months or years to physically build the earth. I mean, he pretty much, ex nihilo, out of nothing, something. And it came from his mind.
And then it's like you said, too, I mean, we are amazing creatures.
Mm-hmm.
He created us. I mean, the way our knowledge, the way our body works, the way nobody is exactly alike. I mean, everybody has a different set of fingerprints. So we are amazing creatures that he created.
Even
so,
DNA.
They're
finding out DNA is just, it's no library on the planet. If you took all of them together, they couldn't store the information that's stored in our DNA.
But just us ourselves make a statement to people that we're going to create.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been asked, or have you ever asked anybody, is Christ in your life? What, like this writer, I've had a person one time, he was a little eccentric, but he was questioning if I believed in God and this and that, and I said, yes. He said, well, do you believe in molecular structure? And I said, yeah. He said, so you believe that if I created your body in such a perfect form that you could pass through that wall? And I thought, well, yeah. If you created me to match what was in that wall, I could pass through. And he thought I was crazy. Well, I thought he was a little eccentric for asking the question. But if God is in you, he's right here. He's up above. He's around us. But the next part is, in the next verse, it says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Why do you think he created light first? The world was already in darkness. So he created light. And he did that, as this writer points out, and it brings out, in an audible voice. Now, there again, would someone look at you like you were crazy? crazy or funny thinking, how can a person speak, let there be light, and light appears.
But
he's God. In his majesty, in his sovereignty, in his power, he had all that together to do that. But and we can ask, well, what was the significance? Well, the significance would be, because it goes on to say that he saw the light, and the light was good, and then he separated the light from the darkness. So you had night and day. Well, anybody with common sense would know that if you're creating something or you're planting something, a farmer doesn't go out in the middle of the night in darkness and plant a field. He works from sunlight to sundown. So, why would God create both? Is it because night, did he need rest in his own way? If he was supernatural, did he have to have rest? You know, somebody says, well, he's doing no physical labor. But you can get tired mentally without doing anything physically, and your body can get tired. So, you know,
if you back up, you talk about he had a plan. He knew what he was going to do. When he started this, he knew exactly where it would end up, because he's ever knowing. So he knew that he was going to create people, creatures, both animals and then humans. And he knew that he would have known that in their livelihood, they were going to need rest. So he was doing things ahead of time to prepare for the end of when he created the male and female. Just like when he was on the earth, he prepared for the end. His ministry, you know, he went every time. All he did through his ministry was to prepare for what was going to come when he was put on the cross. So he knew ahead of time when he prepared the world what the humans were going to need.
But then a plant vibe or anything would have grown if he hadn't created the sun.
Right.
But what's so ironic is, and we all know, is in the world today, the darkness is when the evil, I mean, there are more things go on at night that are evil than they do that we know of during the day. So he created, it's true.
Well, it's true, but there's a lot of evil that goes on during the daytime, too.
But you know, in the night, people just think they can
sneak around and
exactly
not be seen.
Undercover darkness.
That's right, under the cover of darkness, that's right.
Well, I think, too, if you look at talking about God resting, I think that's not in a physical sense like we think, because Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. But I think what it is basically, instead of having us where all we did was work, he gave us the 6 days to work, and then he gave us a seventh day of rest. And it's during that day of rest that we gather together to worship him corporately. And I think basically what he did, in the way he did it, it was to set up it helped set up a calendar, but the other thing it did is it gave us an example of how to live, because if he didn't, and people would have just worked 7 days a week, days a week, people would have been killing themselves and this type of thing. So I think it was for us and not him. He did it that way.
Because we get into that, if we read on verses 4 and 5 where it says, God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. But then he goes on, and God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. And the water that he took from above it, he said that it was so. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. Now, on the third day, it's talking, he says, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. And God called the ground dry ground lie, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Now, to me, that alone would be enough to tell a doubter, well, look at the earth we live on. You have land separated by bodies of water. That's what the scriptures tells us. That's what he did. If you want to say that separating the water and creating sky, does that indicate there's moisture up above? Well, what comes down? Rain. I'm sure he knew that the grounds would have to be nourished. All part of his plan again. But then it goes on saying in verse 11, God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. And then in the end of verse 12 and 13, and God saw that it was very good. And then there was evening and there was morning the third day. So what's happened in days 1, 2, and 3?
He fixed it one thing, that we don't have to eat apples the rest of our life. Because it's been herbs and fruit trees. So, you know, I mean, that in itself is an awesome, you could just have one thing.
Mm-hmm.
He made a variety, you know, kind of like animals. You look at all the different varieties.
But the first 3 days he took this body, and he created light and darkness, or darkness was already there, but he created light. He created land, water. But on days 4, 5, and 6, he filled what he had created. Now, like Ken said, you get to the part to where the Sabbath day. Well, we're skipping around, but did he do that so that he could rest? Or, as Ken said, was the Sabbath day God realized that his work was completed? So he rested. Did he intend for us to do the same thing?
I believe he intended for us to rest and to worship him and to carry on his work. I believe he made us in the image of him to carry on his work. So.
But is Sunday a day set aside for us to come and be spiritually nourished again? Well, can I do that during the week? Well, yes. But also he's created, you have to work. We'll get back into creating Adam and Eve. He didn't create them and just said, enjoy yourself. You know, I'm going to take care of you. You don't have to do anything. But creating in his own image, Now, verse 26. It said, God said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Could you see where someone might get a little creative in their thinking and say, well, it starts out saying he created man in our image. That's what God said. And then it said he created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. But then it says male and female. Well, we know why he created both. He created Adam and Eve, blessed them, told them to be fruitful and increase the number and fill the earth and subdue it, to rule over it, to rule over everything. We don't get into the sin that they committed or the part that they got into. But why did God create us in his own image? If, and I think out of the box here, if you were in God's position and you were a powerful person and you had the power to create life, would you want them to be just like you? Or would you want to create a lower form so that you still could be over them? But did he do that? He created us in his image. And why?
When you look at all of creation glorifies him.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't get into it because it takes me long. But everything in all of creation, I believe it was David that said, the heavens declare the glory of God and the earth, mm-hmm. you know, the firmament, his handwork. He created animals and plants that bring honor and glory to him. But of all his creation, man alone is created in his image. And so what many Bible scholars believe is that it's not in the physical sense, because, and then you can get into some other scriptures where Jesus took on the likeness of man physical. It didn't say that, you know, he just came in the physical body he had. So there's a lot of argument that it's not in a physical sense. It's in the fact that we can love, that we have emotions, that we can think, that we can think, you know, outside of ourselves and immediate need and what have you. But God created man to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that choice of, we can either choose to worship him or not. And God wanted creatures that would love him because they chose to.
Right, to have a relationship with him. Yeah.
Well, and I think also, too, he knew in the plan how much he was going to love us. So in return, he wanted us to know how to love him back. So, you know, when he speaks about love, he was sharing his love by creating us like him. And it's like you said, you know, you can, we're all selfish. We all have selfish things about us. So naturally, you want to be the best. I want to be better than this person, so I would make this person not quite as good as me, but kind of sort of like me. Whereas that wasn't even in his thought pattern. He loved us so much, he wanted us to be like him,
mm-hmm.
to learn to love like him, and share that kind of love with other people. And I think also for fellowship, I think God wanted fellowship.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't just a total dominating right. emperor. He, I'm going to make you like me, and I want you to take on my characteristics, and let's love and share with everyone around the world to make this place a good place to live.
Well, and it just, to me, it proves his love when he does create female. I mean, if he had made just a male for, you know, the creation, that's one thing. But the other thing is that he did not want this, the person that he created, to be alone and lonesome. So he created somebody mm-hmm. to love him. And when you share love between each other, then you, that helps you share love with other people.
All right, I'll say this briefly. When he created male and female, he didn't say here that there's going to be questions about your gender. Right? He created a male and he created a female. There's no in between according to the scripture. That's how he created humanity.
Yeah, man ain't supposed to marry man. He and she and he.
But and it's yeah. evident in the very first things that he created was, he, and it specifically defines, it's night and day. You can't change night to night. And you can't change day to night and night to day. It was darkness
and light.
And lightness. So it's the same thing with us. It's male and female.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
That's right. And like Ken said, it's brought out in verses 29 and 30. You know, God put all the plants, the animals, and he created all that for a man and woman to nourish themselves, to take care of themselves. Yeah, because I don't do it, but you could take a small plot, smaller than this room, and you can feed yourself, you know. But after all this is created, verse 31, he saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. It's going to tell us that the Bible affirms that God created physical things and they are good. And it's true that this created order that he developed and he created has been marred by sin. You know, because we go back and we'll get into it. What did God tell Adam and Eve? Everything out here is for you. It's like he said, did the serpent came to them and asked, did God really say, you can't eat from any tree in the garden? We know what God told them. There was one, the tree of life. That's where sin was introduced into the world.
You know, I hate to open the can of worms. The first sin was when Eve ate the apple.
Mm-hmm.
But go back just a little bit. She told a lie before that, because if you look at it, when Satan said, did God really say, and her response was, he said, we can't eat it or touch it. He never said they couldn't touch it. He just said they couldn't eat from it. And that's one of those questions that I have is, you know,
why?
When she said that, was it an out-and-out lie, or was it an honest? You know, in other words, if God said don't eat from it, in their minds it meant don't touch it, you know. But that's, I'm going to have to ask more about that one day.
You're outnumbered in here. This is a 10.
But it says in verse 15 in chapter 2, 16, God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. But now, to me, this, I know you skip around in the creation, but the first chapter, it tells us that he created male and female. But then over here, he is talking to the man, and now he needs to find someone suitable for him. So he brings in the female later. I understand where you're coming from, but I think this is where people can, when they question you, well, why over here did he do this? But now you're going to skip over and say, well, oh, wait a minute. But when he created male and female, was it just an image? Was it a real life person at that time? But then he took the male and finished his development of him and called him Adam. And once he had done that, then he saw that Adam didn't need to be by himself, so he took the female image and named her Eve and created her.
How did you reconcile that with him taking her from his rib? And it's only, really, when you think about it, throughout all of creation, one time God breathed life into man.
Right.
And that was into Adam. He never breathed life into anybody else. And I think, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and I said, I think when God breathed the life into Adam, and then when he created Eve from Adam's rib, it is very absent in detail on how he did mm-hmm. what. But I believe that part of that breath of Adam went into Eve. Yeah. And then as they've had children and we have children, that breath of life is passed on from one point to another, which actually even more so supports the argument of life begins at conception. And somebody asked me the other day, they said, well, if that was true, then how much spirit did God breathe into Adam that it would fill, in other words, if it would be enough to pass on down the line? And I said, well, if you took a candle and you lit 1,000 other candles, how much does it diminish the first candle? Mm-hmm. I think that's a viable argument. But I think it's pretty easy to mm-hmm. if I can understand it that way. It's
But what are some ways we can be good stewards of God's creation and his purpose for here on earth? It's, you could say a lot of things, Do we take the Sabbath day as we should and as he wanted us to? Do we come and be nourished spiritually? And then do we take it as a day of rest to restore your body to be prepared to go back to work on Monday? Or have Sundays become so just as busy as any other day during the week, and we rush into church and make our presence known, and we hear the preaching and we go home and that's it. We forget about it. We don't take it with us. And he put us here on earth to take care of earth. Are we taking care of earth like we should? There's quote, you've got those people, the what do you want to call them? The green people. Or is that viable, or should we just believe God's going to take care of us?
Well, it's like Denny said, though, we believe that the Lord's going to take care of us. I do. But I believe also that he gave us a brain to take care of us. And the scriptures talk about things that need to be done, so we should use our mind
to not abuse them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to just, I think that, and we've got, And like this, like you said, the seventh day, I mean, we're all in here old enough to go back and look and remember. I do. When nothing was open,
that's the blue wall.
We went to church and then you went and visited people or you went home and, you know, it was a day of rest. And now, it's like you said, it's
Almighty
dollar, man. You know, I will say this. I used to work in retail back when the blue law things changed. If the church people had stayed out of the mall, we'd still be closed. We'd have ourselves blamed.
It's true. I mean, we are.
And
so a lot of it, I mean, it is our fault.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
you know, they
closed
down for 2 weeks.
Go right to them.
Cursing us. You can use God's name in vain all you want to, but if you make any reference to a holy God, then that you can't do that.
You can't do that.
Yeah. We said work one day and the tornado comes. This lady rolling open the front door and was standing there watching it. Miss Doe's grabbed her and pulled her into the hall and she said, "What did you do that for?" Said, "If God gets ready for me, he'd take me." He said, "Well, he did give him brain enough to get me in the hall."
All right, well, next Sunday we'll get into Made in His Image. So.
Then why are you looking at me?
I'm not.
Bye, please.
I tell my son, he had two daughters. He can't be a male child.
All right. Let's have our closing prayer. Have our prayer. Yeah, let's stand and we'll. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.